Blog Talk Radio.
The Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpen proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion.
Good evening. Welcome to the Abolitionist Hour.
Go ahead, Carl.
Welcome to the Abolitionist Hour.
You're on the air, Carl. Would you introduce your guest, and I'll put her right on.
Okay, we got Elise from Missourians Against the Death Penalty. We've got some updates since the execution of Ernest Johnson. This was a tragic event, and I wanted to go right to Elise and let her start telling us about what she's been through trying to stop this inhumane capital punishment. Elise,
she
are you there?
She should be on here. Just a minute. She should be on. Let's see. I'm waiting. Oh, for some reason, I don't know why it hasn't brought her on.
Okay, so we had a situation. Hello, Elise.
Go ahead. Could you?
Hi, Elise. Are you there?
No, I'm watching the switchboard. Could you tell us a little bit? I think it's about your. You went down to witness an execution. You traveled quite a ways, didn't you? Could you talk a little bit about your trip, and I'll get her on. See if I can get her on.
Okay, well, yeah, Bon Terre is actually about 90 minutes south of St. Louis, and so it's about 3 hours to get to St. Louis, so it makes for a big, a full day. And so Bon Terre is known for having the largest mine on the planet, and it's been mined since the conquistadors of Coronado has come through. And so it's as I remember, in Cub Scouts, we did a 5-mile march inside the mine. And so there's actually two prisons. And this is how we got involved starting with IWOC, was they were doing gladiator fights at the old death house in Potosi, Missouri, which was another mining town. And there were 8 prisoners that went on a hunger strike, and we began writing Prisoners on Hunger Strike is how we got involved. And so they moved the death house down to Potosi. And so this was the second one I've been to. But
I think she's on.
Anyway, let's talk to Elise.
Yeah.
Elise there?
Yeah, I think she's just on.
Yes, can you all hear me now?
Yes,
hi, Elise.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me on and bringing me in and for some history there of that area of Missouri. My name's Elise. I'm the director of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And on October 5th, the state of Missouri executed Ernest Lee Johnson. I'm not sure how much background the listeners or y'all have on that whole situation, but I guess I can speak mostly to the day of and what we experienced. Carl was on the same kind of little road trip path that I was. We went down to Jefferson City and just stood outside the governor's office for an hour and held some community there before heading to Bonterre outside of the prison. And there were about 60 people outside. It was pretty interesting. I know that, you know, the media showed up. Cori Bush, Representative Cori Bush was there and media followed. But the facility in Bonterre, they would not let the media on the property, not let them with the protesters. They had a media room inside where they tried to push everyone off to. So a nice man across the street let the media on a strip of his land so that they could view the protesters, but certainly they should have been with us. That's their First Amendment right to view us in opposition to the execution. And let's see, a couple representatives from the House, Kimberly Collins and Marlon Anderson, tried to go in. They are permitted to by state law into any prison at any time in Missouri, and they wanted to go in. Kimberly Collins has been doing pop-ups across the state. She'd met Ernest. She'd been in and prayed with him before. They wouldn't permit them in early in the day, saying that the execution process had already started. So there was another violation right there, and at the end, they tried to push us off. Officer came up and claimed that the DOC were the victims now because we weren't letting them go home to their families after they had just murdered Ernest Johnson. So it was a rough day all around. I think that stuff on the ground, the media wasn't there, and we're still kind of gathering our thoughts on how we're going to respond to that. You know, that's state property, but they do make the policies. So, you know, how can we fight, you know, the stuff that went down there? There needs to be transparency with these things. And it's hard because you're fighting against this huge beast with all these tentacles. So I'm just speaking about that one piece the day of and how people were treated. We've been going there. I mean, not myself personally, but protesters since the 80s. And, you know, now we had show of force. We had representatives. The eyes were on Ernest Johnson. We had people showed out and showed up for this. It's messed up, and the attention was on Missouri. We're only two states executing this year. So Texas and Missouri is where folks are watching. So anyway, that's kind of a little bit about what happened the day of. Is there anything else there to expand on anything?
Now, there was like an international call out for a stay of execution. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Pope wrote a letter to the governor. There was an international former Governor Holden from Missouri who had executed 20 people on his watch, said don't execute Ernest Johnson. He obviously has an intellectual disability. His case has been thrown out twice. They were, like, persistent. They were determined to murder this man. I mean, it is just all law was thrown out of the window. I'm sorry to be so blunt, and my words aren't very eloquent, but this was so unconstitutional. I mean, we know it was immoral, but even more immoral because of Ernest's condition. And so many people loved him. And so, it was very unconstitutional. The Missouri Supreme Court didn't care. We know the United States Supreme Court didn't care. That was very evident and apparent in a setup this summer when Trump executed 13 people. And they ruled on everything in private conference in the dead of the night. So we're in a really bad situation. Missouri has 19 more folks living under a death sentence, and most of them are in their final rounds of appeals. So We're concerned, and we're going to try to rest for a couple of days, but, you know, we're going to be back at it hard.
Now, Ernest Johnson was from Mississippi County, Missouri, and people don't realize that there's counties in the Boot Hill that still do cotton on a commercial scale, and that people – there's counties that people are virtual tenant farmers still. And it sounds to me like Mississippi County is one of those counties. Can you tell me a little bit about Mississippi County?
The history of Mississippi County is it's in the Boot Hill of Missouri, and it is a county that had a high number of racial terror lynchings. I believe there were four of them documented by the Equal Justice Initiative between during the Reconstruction era. So, the Ernest in his mitigation papers, it talks about his dad said he was a sharecropper. You can see his grandparents worked on big farms, which were likely plantations. The history there is deep. In Mississippi County, Ernest went to a segregated school in the 1960s, and he described it as like a trailer behind a trailer where the segregation was, and then him himself were even in another trailer because of his disability. So Ernest just had it tough. He had a rough life growing up. He told me once about how it would rain so high that they could fish out their window and they could catch some fish for dinner. And so, he did have it rough growing up, and all the forces, all the factors, all the history, everything was against him. And then very apparent today in the way that his case was pursued in Boone County, the prosecutor that went after Ernest was Kevin Crane. He's a judge now. He was responsible for Ryan Ferguson, who was exonerated. He has a lot of a lot to do with the mass incarceration that's coming out of that county. So history is alive and well today, and certainly we can see that in the case of Ernest Johnson and a lot of the folks that are on Missouri's death row.
And Boone County is where Mizzou, University of Missouri, Columbia, is located, and generally considered a progressive town, but we're not seeing that with Kevin Crane and a lot of the politics going on in Boone County. Is that right?
Well, I think it's important to remember that, Ernest's case and even Kevin Crane's work was a couple decades ago now. So while we do have 19 people on the row, and I think two people from Boone County have been executed, I'd have to look it up to be sure. But we aren't seeing new death sentences come out of really any county. And we have had jury trials. So there hasn't been a jury sentencing in Missouri since 2013. And we have something called judicial override. We're one of two states where a judge can override a deadlocked jury and impose a death sentence. And so all the new sentences since 2013 have been judge imposed. One was in 2018. So the folks that are left are now, 30 years, 20 years have been waiting for these sentences to be carried out. But we do have, some hope in the fact that we're not, continually filling up our row with new people.
Well, that's a glimmer of hope. But how many has Governor Parson executed?
Governor Parson has executed three people in his 3 years. We've had one a year since 2019.
Now, Kevin Crane, you say he is now a judge. Is that a magistrate? Where is he at?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I apologize.
No, that's okay, because I was kind of leading on to the Missouri Supreme Court, and they were of little help. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. They were terrible. They didn't even review, any of the nothing had an argument. Hundreds of pages of evidence and new evidence and affidavits with juries, former jurors, recanting their stuff. They didn't even give it a hearing. I mean, they closed it in 26 pages of basically, it's so crazy. They said the fact that it's been to trial 8 times is evidence that he really deserves to be executed. But the fact that it had to be in trial 8 times means there was something really wrong with this. It's just mind baffling that, you know, the wool is pulled over so many people's eyes. I don't know.
No, it's interesting how they get by with this. Now, you know, what strikes me about the Capitol grounds is that it's almost palatial now. I remember the Capitol in like the 1980s where they were like catching rainwater. And now it's like, oh, here's a tribute to, you know, Mel Carnahan, who died in a plane crash, or, you know, James Kirkpatrick, who really was the architect of the school to prison pipeline. And they're just, and that's the thing is all these tributes are to people of recent decades. And so they're creating a mythology there that just on this, you know, you scratch the surface, it's basically its old boy network corruption that Missouri has always been known for. Now, so that's what's frustrating, because we've seen this and we've heard these stories coming, you know, the majority of the legislature in Missouri went to a one-room schoolhouse. If you look, you know, as far back as it goes, and Parsons, he's from this remote area of the Ozarks, the Western Plains meets the Ozark Plateau, and 100 years ago it was the most remote area of the United States, and now we've got hello, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
Yes.
Oh. Do you have any questions?
Well, for you, yes, I do. Elise, is this some sort of like anniversary? They schedule these executions on a regular basis. You say once a year. I heard that they couldn't get the drugs nationwide. I don't know, but is there another one scheduled?
Well, just when they run out of appeals in the United States Supreme Court, then the state will request a date. And so because so many of them are in their final round of appeals, the dates are just going to come quicker and quicker and quicker. And the way the Supreme Court is acting, we know they're just going to churn them through. So there's already a request. A guy exhausted his appeals on Monday. It's typically 30 days to get the date set, and then once the date's set, it's like 60 to 90 days out. So it could be 2, 3, 5 next year. I don't know. The drug thing is really interesting. So that's a whole other conversation, too, if you want me to talk about that.
Well, I mean, I've read that these drugs, the pharmaceutical companies are, one, I heard, refusing to provide them nationwide. And there were some states that were experimenting with – I don't know, with different quote-unquote formulas to kill these prisoners. But you say you will only have a few weeks' notice to mobilize opposition to the next execution in Missouri? Is that based on the Supreme Court?
Well, when you put it that way, yeah, it could be. I mean, we know where all the cases are. We follow them, and, you know, we get updates every time they move somewhere.
I don't see why you wouldn't want people to know. How do you find out when they, if and when they schedule these ghastly experiments in human engineering? Do you go to the Missouri website, or how does it work? I don't know how you find out ahead of time.
Yeah, you can go to CaseNet, and that's Missouri, where you look up everyone's case. We track these cases really closely. So, like, from the time even a first-degree murder happens and we know it's a prosecutor that likes the death penalty, we'll watch it. We'll know the case number.
we'll watch how they get passed around, where juries are pulled from. So that's kind of our data. That's like our baseline of how we decide, because Missouri's huge and we want to target like these high use areas. So we follow all of that to figure that out.
I missed it. Did you put up, is it a website or a phone tree?
Yeah, it's called CaseNet.
Can you spell
CaseNet,
that out?
It's through the Missouri Supreme Court website. You can find it, CaseNet, CaseNet. If you Google CaseNet Missouri, that'll probably be your best bet.
Okay, all right. And
you can
that's
search,
how you find out.
But,
yeah,
that's how you
that's
can
how
search
you find
each
it.
Case.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Kansas doesn't have anything like that. That I know of, you know.
Huh.
The death penalty people in Kansas, they really just mobilized almost like word of mouth, email and telephones and things like that. And since they haven't been executed in Kansas for a while, they still show up as a force for lobbying in the Topeka State House. You know, I pay attention to the Topeka State House activity a lot, and they still show up every year whenever the legislature's in session to, I don't know what they're sort of like a watchdog, you know, but it's more power to them.
That's great.
Carl,
no, they're always trying to bring it back.
Yeah, Kansas too, every year. I mean, it's, I guess that's why they go there every year to make a presence known. Carl, you were talking about the state capitol. I wanted listeners to know how, I mean, not that Kansas is exclusive. I mean, they've got living legislators that are, you know, relics and fossils from another era. But you were talking about these statutes. Is it true that Rush Limbaugh has a statue in the Missouri state capitol in Jefferson City?
Yes, they bronze. Yeah, there's a bronze bust, and they hide it. Oftentimes, they hide it. Usually, when the ACLU's there for lobby day, they roll it to the back of the rotunda, and so it's been difficult to find. Walt Disney's bust is there, and there's about another 15. To the side of the rotunda on the first floor, but they tried to have a Rush Limbaugh day, and there was an outcry, so Governor Parsons was not able to enact a Rush Limbaugh day in his honor. And so, yeah, it's just, yeah, it looks like West Virginia. It looks like Charleston, West Virginia or Charlottesville, West Virginia when you pull into Jefferson City. It's on the river,
Is Bon Terre the official execution site, Ashley? Is that where they always execute prisoners?
Yeah, yes, we do. So they're in Potosi while they're incarcerated, and they transfer them to Bon Terre for the execution. That's where the execution chamber is, yes. And we use the one
always.
Drug.
It's always yep. there. That's sort of ghastly, isn't it? Maybe someone that lobbies or knows the state legislature in Jefferson City should advocate or write up a resolution or something to have a Rush Limbaugh's statue sent down there to Bon Terre. I'm sure his family would appreciate that. You know what I mean?
I've never run into that statue when I was in the state house either, Carl. I can't find it.
they roll it around. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dr. Deerhoff, who they call Dr. Death. This is an unbelievable story. And about how the compound pharmacy was identified out in Oklahoma City. Can you tell us a little bit about any of that, Elise?
Well, you talk about it, Carl. That was before my time. Go ahead.
Okay, well Dr. Deerhoff was dyslexic. And so
he was
so
the executioner,
like,
right?
And they were living for like 45 minutes before they died. And so there was nothing, you know, again, the Supreme Court was protecting him. And, you know, so there were some abolitionists that actually followed, that figured out they could follow the pharmacy vehicle and when it arrives and this and that. Anyway, they followed it back to a compound pharmacy to Oklahoma City and identified about 10 years ago that who was manufacturing the death serum. And I mean, it was, it's unbelievable that people, could synchronize what the state was doing and figure out how they were doing it. And it shows power to the people, but for years there was complaints about this Dr. Guillermo. It was like a common running story for several decades. And a dyslexic executioner there's the stories that come out of Missouri that people just can't believe. It's like you couldn't make it up in a science fiction novel. Yeah. But they do it. They get by with it. And
Do we know who's is it a practicing physician or doctor who's in Missouri that's doing it now? Do you know?
So we don't know who the executioner is. It's not a doctor. Like, physicians are not allowed to administer lethal injection drugs. It's probably someone who works for Horizon. I don't know. We don't know who the actual executioner is. In Missouri, that happened in 2008 with Dr. Dierhoff, and then that really made the Department of Corrections shroud everything in secrecy. There's no transparency with what's going on with executions. Once that pharmacy in Oklahoma got busted, they were compounding it. We were using the 3-drug cocktail at the time. Then more secrecy laws came on, having to do with where the drugs are obtained. So now we use the 1-drug protocol. We know that they probably pay for it in cash and cross state lines. It's probably a very shady drug deal. We did recently, the Guardian Sunshine requested the cost of the execution drugs. So there is some documentation on how much they cost. And how much it costs to train the quote unquote executioner or whatever that looks like, or the team. So all the result of them botching it up so bad in 2008 is now there's all this these secrecy laws around it. And it's terrible. And the folks are executing, they have traumatic brain injuries, and likelihood of botched executions are pretty high. And we don't know a lot about what's going on as far as the drugs and who's administering them at that time.
Yeah,
they could be using Zyklon B, Carl, for all you guys know, sounds like. I mean, yes, now I'm teasing,
Arizona.
But I mean, Arizona, what do you mean? Why did you say Arizona?
They're testing out the gas chamber, and they're going to use Zyklon B, and they're... It's just so obnoxious. They're going to use the Nazi drugs to execute. So they're bringing it back. Arizona hasn't done it in a long time. And they're bringing back the gas chambers.
And also the firing squad. I was reading something about there was a choice between the needle or a firing squad in Ernest Johnson's case.
Missouri has firing squad on the books, but we do not use it. So he argued for it, but they were like, nope. And we also have gas on the books too. And allegedly they're trying to develop a phase 4 administering gas. because, you know, when a person says that the method is cruel and unusual and unconstitutional, then they have to offer up an alternative method. So that was the last thing people were seeing happen with Johnson in the Supreme Court, was he was asking for firing squad. But yes, the cruelty is the point, I guess, suppose.
Well, the old maximum security prison is a few blocks away from the Capitol. And as I recall, there was a gas chamber there. And I'd always heard rumors there was a room fairly close to the wall there, and there was a chimney that came out of it, and it was this urban legend for the most part. But I believe that there's actually a tour that shows the old gas chamber. Have you been to that tour?
I haven't been physically to that tour, no, but you're correct. There was a gas chamber at the walls in Jefferson City, and there's a YouTube video of Henry Rollins has been on that tour, and he's in the gas chamber. So you can find that on YouTube if you want to see what that looked like. It's pretty surreal.
Yeah, because it almost looks like a submarine door or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like something out of the goddamn dark ages of the Middle Ages of Europe. I'm sorry to laugh, but I mean it's so sick what these people are doing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Carl. I'm sorry, Ashley. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in. It's like out of the dark. It's like out of the dark ages. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, there's a legend of people that came out of the early Iron Age that settled here, and they were called the Old Settlers, and it's these towns like where the governor's from down in Hickory County, the western plains of the Ozark Plateau is where these old settlers had been reported to have migrated from. And, you know, even the Hare Krishnas have a book called Forbidden Archaeology. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen that at the bookstore, but it's got some pretty interesting things. But basically the mining companies keep a lot of secrets of a lot of anomalies that they come across while they're digging and excavating. And but I think of that story of the old settlers. When I hear about, you know, their decisions, to be channeling, you know, some type of ancient scripture or whatever the hell their minds are at, but it goes back to Leviticus and just all this.
Hey, Ashley,
are you talking to me? I'm sorry, my name's Elise. That's why I'm like, what?
Oh, Elisa. I'm sorry, Elisa. Elise. I'm sorry. My name's Mike. My name's Mike.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Elisa.
You're good.
Now, did you have access to the news? I understand the news media is allowed into the room adjacent to the execution chamber, and I guess the victims. I mean, who's in the room adjacent to the execution? And did the news media take photographs of the actual performance of the execution? I was wondering about that because they don't do that much in Kansas. Do you know anything about that?
So there are three viewing rooms to the execution. One's for the media,
uh-huh.
And there's a very select number of media that get in. I think there's like five, and they're nominated by the Missouri Press Association, and then they pick local media. And then there's the victim's viewing room, and then family members of the person being executed's room. And the media doesn't take pictures. They're only allowed to have, like, I think they're allowed to write in there. But no, there's no pictures or anything like that. There's a media holding room next to it where they sit and they can be online and stuff before they actually walk into the viewing chamber.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we don't know if the executioner is wearing like a, you know, you see in the old Frankenstein movies or in the old monster movies that where they would wear the black the black thing over their head so you wouldn't know the identity of them. The guy that chopped off Mary, Queen of Scots' head in Merry Old England, there's a lot of drawings of him having a black mask over his head, you know, so you didn't know who he was. I guess that's why we don't know. They just passed laws to say you check the executioner, right? I guess, and it's not a doctor.
Yeah, they're behind a wall. They're behind a wall, and the syringe is behind the wall, and there's tubes that come through holes in the wall and go into the person they're murdering. And so they're not even seen. They're behind a whole thing. The tubes come out of a wall to the person.
Wow.
There's former executioners that have come out to speak out against the death penalty. And so they've described the process. So I don't know, like, exactly for Missouri, but that's what it's been described by former executioner Jerry Givens, who has spoken out against the death penalty and described it in detail, which is what, you know, turns other people off to it. And we know it is traumatic for people that work in corrections. I mean, just to be honest, I don't, you know, feel that like they're complicit, but it is traumatic for them. And so this guy particularly spoke out, and Virginia just abolished the death penalty. He was from Virginia. And the governor said he remembers touring the death chamber with Jerry Givens. So the more people from the state house that have to walk through the death chamber, that have to confront it, that have to see it, because part of it is they want to do this in the cover of darkness. They want to do this hidden, and that's why they don't want the media joining the protesters. They want it to be this elusive thing, and it's not. It's murder, and it needs to be shown for what it is. And so, that's part of our work too. It's like very hard to stop an execution once there's a date set, but we can shed light on this really dark part of what's happening in our state.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead,
now,
Carl. I'm
and
sorry.
Ernest Johnson had disabilities all his life.
Yeah.
And so he functioned at the level of a 5-year-old. Is that correct?
Oh, I'd have to look at the paperwork to say what level it was. Like, he did not pass sixth grade. He tried sixth grade twice. He did not pass sixth grade. I think, you know, definitely unequivocally, he meets the three medicals for having a disability, which is low IQ, early onset of low IQ, and adaptive deficits. So basically, all the testing that has happened with him has proven that he meets the criteria for having an intellectual disability, but the way that it was presented to a jury of lay people by prosecutors, it was left up to them to determine it. And as I said before, like, that his death sentence was overturned two times because of errors in the presentation of evidence. The third time he was sentenced to death was in 2006. By an all-white jury pulled from Pettis County. The prosecutors, you know, asked them to rely on their gut, and really just, there were so many errors in the way it was done, in the way the jury was instructed, in the way they voted on the intellectual disability question, wrapped up into the sentencing question. Like, all these things that the court should have heard and determined, and they just decided not to. And so it's just really disappointing, because clearly the law was violated. And we have to look at the reasons that Missouri were so relentless in trying to murder Ernest Johnson. It's just a very evident about how they think about black men in Missouri, and how they think about people with disabilities in Missouri, how poor people are treated in Missouri, how anyone caught up in the mass incarceration system is discarded and has their humanity ripped from them. That's what happened to Ernest Johnson. And, you know, it's just a very, very sad situation. And it's hard to see it getting better with the state of the way that the administration is. Really disappointing that Eric Schmidt thought to be a champion for disability rights in our state. He ran his campaign touting his pro-life stance based on the fact that he had a son with a disability. He relied on the disability community and support when he gets elected, and then to do this to a man with an intellectual disability is just horrific. And people saw it. People were watching. I mean, if the Pope is telling Parson, like, have some dignity, like, the Pope doesn't speak out. He hasn't spoken out. We've had 90 executions in Missouri. This is only the second time the Pope has said anything. That's a big deal. Like, this was just, it reverberates around the world. It was, I think, just the tip top of how inhumane and bloodthirsty our administration is here in Missouri.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was paying more attention to this one than other executions, but it seemed like it really caught the attention of the world, and it clung to this story for months prior to the execution. Is that right?
You know, it's always I think so. We got a lot of attention at the end, which is always the really sad part of this work. But MADP and the staff, and through our socials and our website, and through having Zoom educational events and going live, we're trying to shed light on this since it had happened. And we knew when the Missouri Supreme Court turned it down. I think that was even, I don't know when that was, maybe even in January or February. So we had some time. We had been working to build support for this, before the date was even set. But I do think that at the end, it really blew out of control, because people just saw the gravity of the situation. And now people are looking at Missouri, and we have to harness that momentum. Like I said, this fight isn't over, and I don't want people to stop looking at us. We're not Texas, but we're pretty much behaving like Texas as far as executing two people during the pandemic, and just the way we're going about our whole mass incarceration system.
See, I was in Columbia in 1994, and what, you know, some of the things that I think about, that I remember about 1994, was, one, the Republican Revolution, and the fact that they were cutting mental health county by county. And I can't help but think that there had to have been some social services that would have benefited Ernest at that time. The summer before this tragedy happened. And the other thing is that Casey General Store is owned by Kronsky, which is the son-in-law of Sam Walton from Walmart. I mean, Sam Walton was also an intelligence officer at a Japanese internment camp during World War II. But Kronsky was also owned the St. Louis Rams, and Rams fans were spitting on a 16-year-old black girl from Ferguson as they walked into the stadium. So you have two situations here, racially related. One, the Casey store was torn down, you know, when it had been in business for a year, and then the Rams ended up moving to Los Angeles. And it was like a $1 billion bond that was voted down. So the Kronskys have had some bad public relations in this last decade. And I just wonder, I can't help but think that Mike Parsons owed favors to the Walmarts and the Kronskys, and that there's some good old boy backroom kind of agreements going on here. Have you heard anything, Elise?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the most of what you just said was news to me, because I don't. But certainly the death penalty is political. It is political. It's always political, and so I would not be surprised. I don't know. You have to look at everyone who was involved. Everyone who was impacted and touched by it. especially those people that hold the most power and how this whole thing pans out. So I don't have a definitive answer for you, but I always say follow your hunches when it comes to things like that, for sure.
Yeah, because it's, I mean,
Elise, I want one more question. We've only got about 14 minutes left. Elise, have you heard of this guy, Eric Greitens? I think he is in Missouri. I think he's running for, he was something. I think he was in the state legislature. Eric Greitens? I'm not sure.
Yep.
Pronouncing his name. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, he was a former governor, disgraced former governor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I remember reading something about that in the Star. I couldn't put him together, but I monitor Steve Bannon, and you know he's a good Catholic according to him, and Greitens, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I didn't realize he's a governor, but he regularly appears on Steve Bannon's War Room, and
yeah.
They were both sort of talking about this execution, this murder was received enough attention that Eric, he campaigned with machine guns, didn't he? Didn't he use a machine gun in one of his campaign ads in Missouri?
Machine gun,
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was on Steve Bannon's War Room, and you can check it up on the podcast, and they were sort of crowing about the execution in Missouri. I thought it was sort of, I didn't realize he was a former governor. Huh.
I'll
well,
have to
more.
Watch that. That's so interesting. I did not know. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I'm glad someone's monitoring Steve Bannon.
Yeah. Well, he claims to be one of the, he's pretty, you know, I guess he doesn't like Pope Francis as much at all. They don't, but we have another caller.
I'm sure they don't. So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's all right. We have another caller. Should you want me to talk to him in the green room, Carl, while you discuss with Elise about this? Okay.
Okay.
I'll be
okay,
right back.
I hope it's Justice. Right. I sent Justice a text to call in. And we'll finish this up. But this is a lynching. But, you know, it's this is just, you know, extra, you know, it's a lynching from a county that has a history of lynching. And, you know, it's just, you go back and, you know, into the 1930s, there's hardly a county in Missouri that didn't have a lynching by the 1930s. We had, you know, the uprising the riot that was, you know, the white supremacist riot in East St. Louis, that was 1917. You know, this is a 100-year anniversary of the Tulsa, which was one of the most devastating racial attacks on a black community on Black Wall Street. And
hey, Carl,
they're just
Carl. We
go
got,
ahead.
It's Justice, fresh from Skidata. I heard her. I'm just now remembering her name. I was calling her Liberty. Last week, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names. I try to be. But I heard her on Steve Kraske's Up to Date on KCUR FM this week, and I almost fell out of my bed when I heard her voice. Justice, you're on the air with...
good evening. Hi.
There you go. With Carl.
Thank you so much for having me again. Can you all hear me?
Hi, Justice.
Yeah, hi, Justice.
Hi. Great to be here with y'all.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, we were just talking about Ernest Johnson, and we were talking about capital punishment in Missouri. There's been a long history, and it traces back to Jim Crow, what we're witnessing.
Yeah, you know, it's a way to control black people, right? And what happened to Ernest Johnson just should never have happened. Earlier today, we had, you know, our KC Mass Movement meeting, and I, you know, just you know, talked about that for a moment. I mean, honestly, it's been pretty emotional for me. All this stuff has been going on, you know, these rallies across the country and all these things that I've been involved in. But, you know, honestly, the murder, what I call it, the murder, the state murder of Ernest Johnson, like leading up to that, Ernest Johnson has been just weighing on me so heavily. And as so many people who were fighting for him, to kill a man with intellectual disabilities, to step and trample all over his constitutional rights, his human rights, is exactly what Governor Parson did. And he really should be ashamed of himself. I'm sorry. I mean, I've seen the organizers, Elise, Lauren, Michelle, people who have poured their lives into fighting, and not just for Mr. Johnson, but, you know, the capital punishment, the death penalty, as has been stated, is purely racist. We've seen it applied unequally, and not just that. I just don't believe that we should, that's not justice. You know, the murder of someone else is not justice. And I believe in fighting for justice. So.
Indeed. And we'll be fighting for Ernest even in death. I mean, he's with the martyrs now. He's with Trayvon.
Yeah.
He's with Mike Brown.
Yeah, this is Elise Justice. Thank you for those words. And, you know, Governor Parson showed his true colors. You're exactly right. This is intentional. This is how Missouri treats Black people and people with disabilities and poor people. And it resulted in murder, and it was murder without due process. The courts gave a big old nod to allowing this murder to proceed at the federal level and the state level. But I am inspired, I will say, by the eyes on this crime, and I appreciate your support and, you know, just the grassroots support when you can bring these things to the light, and they want to get away with this in the darkness. And so just bringing them into the light, you're right, and it touched so many people. And Ernest is going to forever be in the hearts of millions of people. And that's really, you know, what is going to keep us going moving forward, because we have to somehow, whether it is not wanting to provide health care to Missourians, or, you know, not providing enough food, not providing reproductive care to folks, we are a state that uplifts death. We have a culture of death and a rhetoric of life, and we have to call it what it is. And you can't deny it when you look at what happened to Ernest Johnson. So however our struggles are going to intersect, we have to admit that what we're up against, and just anyone paying attention can see all their cards were on the table. Like, what we're dealing with is just so apparent now. And so it wasn't for naught, and Ernest, life matters, and we're going to keep saying that, and we're going to make it matter. And so thank you for being with us for that, everybody who was there, and Carl for being there and having the show tonight about this important thing that it happens once a year. That's when everyone's watching, and we can't let it fade or slip through our fingers right now.
Indeed. And thank you for Elise for being here, and Justice, is there anything that you'd like to add here at the end about our hanging judge that we have because I keep thinking about all these movies, like, well, what character is this guy Mike Parson trying to portray? You know, and it's like, well, he can't be Judge Roy Bean because Paul Newman was too good looking. I don't know if y'all remember that.
I think what I really want to leave with people at the end here is I want to reiterate, because Elise said something really important. You know, our struggles do intersect. And the call right now, as so many things are happening, you know, we've been talking for years about our rights and fighting for our rights and our constitutional rights and our human rights. But, you know, in my speech last Saturday, you know, what I told people is that this moment that we are in calls for us to do much more than fight for our rights. Because people like Ernest Johnson, right, even though they may have had those rights, they never had the access to them. They were never realized and were able to act on those rights. So what the call now in this moment is for justice. That's what it's for. And it's a fight for justice. And so for reproductive justice, for justice in the death penalty, for criminal justice, that's what it demands. And it's going to require people to look beyond themselves, beyond their own interests, you know, and actually, you know, those interests do impact them whether they believe it or not or whether they fight or not. And so I would just leave people, it's time to fight for justice. And that means fighting for the most marginalized of us. That means fighting for poor people. That means fighting for people who cannot fight for themselves, for the intellectually disabled, for trans people. It's time for all of us to fight for justice. If we really want to see the kind of America we envision, the kind of place where our children can live and thrive, not just always be in a survival mode and looking over their shoulders. This is what this moment demands. And so that's, I think, is the challenge for everybody. And that's what I want to leave people with.
Indeed. Indeed. It's about justice. We have to demand justice. And, you know, I'm seeing that the state is getting pretty upset about, Homeland Security is getting upset about all these prison abolitionists that are starting to show themselves. And all I can say is keep doing more of it. Show up, get involved, and engage in the struggles that we're up against here. Elise, do you have anything?
No, I'm with you. I would say definitely get involved. And may I pitch our website for folks that want to learn more about the death penalty in Missouri?
Yes.
You can find us at madpmo.org and also on all the socials at madpmo. So we'll dig through CaseNet so you do not have to, and we'll let you know what's going on and what's on the horizon in Missouri.
Keep an eye on Missouri, folks. This is where the battleground is. And thank you, Justice, for coming. Thank you, Elise.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Conditions, they are bad, and some of you are sad. You cannot see your enemy, the class that lives in luxury. You working men are poor, will be forevermore. As long as you permit the few to guide your destiny, shall we still be slaves and work for wages? It is outrageous, has been for ages. This earth by right belongs to toilers, and not to spoilers of liberty. The master class is small, but they have lots of gall. When we unite to gain our right, if they resist, we'll use our might. There is no middle ground. This fight must be one round. To victory for liberty, our class is marching on. Shall we still be slaves and work for wages? It is outrageous, has been for ages. This earth by right belongs to toilers, and not to spoilers of liberty. Working men unite, we must put up a fight to make us free from slavery and capitalistic tyranny. This fight is not in vain, we've got a world to gain. Will you be a fool, a capitalist tool, and serve your enemy? Shall we still be slaves and work for wages? It is outrageous, has been for ages. This earth by right belongs to toilers, and not to spoilers of liberty.